Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Hey, good morning, everybody. 908 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. We've got Dave Romer coming up a little bit later on in the hour. Right now, we've got a couple of, a friend of mine, a new friend of mine in studio. Sean Christensen is here from the Chamber of Commerce. Hi, Sean. How are you?
Good morning. I'm awesome. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for coming in. It's good to talk to you, man.
Thanks for having us.
Sean has very short hair right now.
I do. I had headshots yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Were they like the glamour? Your skin on your fist and everything?
That's right. Like Napoleon Dynamite, Uncle Rico. This is really great. So we just started. We have a new board that will be.
Right. I saw that. Yeah.
Welcomed in. And so
do you want to mention them real quick? Their names?
Sure.
You got them off the top of your head? You could do that?
Yeah, I think I could do
okay,
that.
Okay, let's do it.
So we have four people who are rolling off and mm-hmm. four people who are coming on. They serve
rolling
a three-year
off.
Term.
Okay.
Yeah. And so we have limited terms on our board. And so we have Greg Robinson from Ram Company. I'm sure you know
Greg.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Before.
Ram is an innovator. I love it.
Yep. Yeah.
And they don't make trucks, by the way, people. That's a different Ram.
Yeah, these guys make valves that help the spaceships dock on the International Space
Pretty
Station.
Pretty cool, yeah. It has nothing to do with trucks.
No, not at all. But they are turning 50 years old next year, Ram Company is.
Nice.
So started in 1975 right here in St. George.
So Greg is going to serve as the chairman of the board?
Nope, our chairman is Matt Heaton. He owns Elevated Networks.
Okay.
So... Cool. But these are new board members who are coming on, and then after they've been on for a year, they'd have the opportunity to be elected as a vice chair.
Okay, so we got Greg. Who else?
And then we have Elizabeth Wilson with Zeke, which she is a web design and an app design company here in St. George. She has a really interesting story. I'll have to bring her on with us one day. And I won't spoil it, but we'll bring Elizabeth
on. We'll let her
on.
Tell it, yeah.
Yeah, she's Southern Utah native. And then Josh Sutton from Whitwer Hospitality.
Okay.
And he's their director of sales and marketing and really close friend of the chamber's, been really active with the chamber for quite a while. And then our last is Rhonda Nielsen from Black Desert. And many know her
Who is Black Desert? Oh, yeah, that big, giant, cool thing out there.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But prior to Black Desert, she was with Utah Tech, and she ran the Utah Tech Foundation, and then joined Black Desert within the last year and a half. So,
nice.
So those four, we had our training yesterday and spent a half day together, 20 people and influencers here in Southern Utah Market. It was great.
And you did headshots.
And we did headshots, yeah.
Nice.
So... We'll update the website.
Is yours available yet?
No. They got to do a lot of touch up on mine.
A little Photoshop. Let's put a mole right here.
That's right.
All right. Well, let's also introduce who you brought with you. I'll let you do the introductions. I have the notes here, but I'll let you do the introductions, and we'll talk with Heather a little bit.
Yeah. So this is my good friend Heather Watkins. And Heather owns Confetti Balloons, which is a hot air balloon company.
It's not a party store. It's a hot air balloon company.
Yeah.
And hi, Heather.
Hi. How are you guys?
Good.
Heather, how long have you guys been up and running as Confetti Balloons?
We've been flying for 5 years.
Wow. That's amazing.
I remember when we first moved here to Southern Utah, my wife and I, Heather... coincidentally lives across the street from us.
Okay.
And she invited our family to go on a flight with them while she was learning to fly and getting her pilot's license.
Wait, so she wasn't even a licensed pilot?
Well,
I was private.
Yeah.
Okay.
She'd been flying a ton, and so...
Were you scared?
I declined.
You did. Okay.
I have flown with Heather one time.
Oh, you have? Okay.
Admittedly, my favorite part is setting up the balloon. Like, the whole engineering and logistics behind it, I think, are incredible. But I did go up in the balloon, even though I'm not a fan of heights. And it's a very peaceful, very easygoing
experience.
You
went up there, huh?
Yeah.
No, I'm impressed. Because I had mentioned Heather when you first got here. I'm like, I don't think I want to do that. And Sean immediately started razzing me, saying, oh, you're going. We're going to get up there. And if you had actually just now, Sean, said, well, I haven't actually done it yet, I would have... I would have thrown you right off the radio. You'd have been out of this. I'd have put you through that window probably. So, but yeah, you have done it. That's good.
I have.
All right,
he
Heather.
He has done it. We took off at Sand Hollow.
Yep.
Tell us about your company a little bit. Confetti Balloons is what it's called, right?
Yes, it is.
And 5 years you've been in business now?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Me and my daughter, we're both the pilots.
Really?
So yeah, we've both been flying for over 5 years here, and we've flown in 15 states and in Australia and Mexico.
Australia. That's a long way from here.
I'm curious how you got the balloon over there.
That was my buddy's balloon.
Oh, okay.
In Australia, but we have shipped the balloon to Mexico.
Wow. How did you get, I'm curious, you know, we have all kinds of business ideas, and you say, hey, let's start a restaurant, or hey, we'll start an office supplier. How did you decide, okay, I want to start a balloon flying business? How did that come to be?
So I was always flying a lot when I was private, and my husband finally said, you need to go commercial, because it's too expensive to be just a hobby. And so I ended up going commercial. Lily went commercial also.
How old's your daughter?
She is almost 21.
Okay.
She's been commercial for over 2.5 years now.
Wow.
But she actually got a balloon before she got a car.
Holy cow. That's amazing.
Yep. So you can become a student pilot at 14.
Really?
And then you can become private at 16.
That's
and then
incredible.
Commercial at 18.
Okay. So you mentioned your husband. Mm-hmm. Is he a balloon guy? Does he like doing it? Does he also enjoy that or not
as
much?
He likes to fly. Okay. But he also likes to be on the ground and chasing. He likes something that has wheels and goes.
Yeah, so he's your chase guy. So he's following the balloon and when you land, he's going to help clean it up and pack it back up.
Yep, and then so is my older son. He chases. So if me and Lily are both flying, Dallin, my older son, will chase Lily.
Well, how many balloons do you have?
I own five.
You have five?
I have five balloons.
Wow. How many pilots are there for the five balloons? Just the two of
There's
you?
There's two.
Okay, so obviously we're not going to get five off the ground at the same time.
No.
No.
But one of those balloons is our brand new balloon, and it is a dog.
You have a dog balloon?
It's a special shape.
Her dog.
Yep.
Wow. Oh, really? That sounds expensive.
It was very expensive.
Yeah, yeah. So custom designed to look like your dog in actuality, but it was not cheap.
Yeah. Its name is Churro. And so it
Churro
made it,
as in the
Churro.
Okay, yep. Food, yeah. Okay.
It made its debut in Albuquerque Fiesta this last October. So me and Lily were both flying with 600 balloons.
Wow. Now, do you look for, we hear about the balloon festivals right around the country. Mm-hmm. Is that something I want to try to go to as many of those as I can, or do you just kind of pick one or two a year, or how does that work?
I probably do about 20 a year. I try to balance rides with also festivals, because the festivals are actually what's probably going to keep ballooning alive, because you're getting communities involved, and that's what I like to do.
Now, when someone says, hey, yeah, I went on a balloon ride, but the balloon stays tethered the whole time, do you do that occasionally too? Because you see that and you're like, that's not really a balloon ride, right?
Tethered rides are for people, you know, if they don't really want to do a full ride, but you really only go up 50 to 70 feet.
Yeah, yeah. I've jumped off of cliffs into reservoirs high as that. So,
back in your day.
Yeah,
in my day.
It's been a while. don't get me wrong here. But.
So the pilots usually say that's kind of dope on a rope.
Dope on a rope, yeah.
Because we're stuck to a rope where we'd rather go off and fly.
Fly and be free, absolutely.
But they're good for like little kids too.
So now, have you flown like in small planes and helicopters and those types of things before as a comparison in your mind?
I finally went up in a little plane with Troy last year. And let me tell you, I was terrified.
Really?
I was terrified.
Wait a minute. You're up in this balloon with no motor, really. I mean, except for the fire. And the airplane terrified you?
Uh-huh. I don't like planes.
That's a pilot who doesn't
I love
like
my plane.
Planes.
I love my hot air balloon.
Yeah.
It really is a serene experience. Like, it takes off and it's just very calm. And when you're up in the air, it's just like quiet and peaceful. The only thing you really hear is the heater on the, I burner. Call it the heater, the burner. There we go. On the plane.
On the hot air balloon.
But anyway, it is just a very serene experience. Very, very quiet, and you get to see like the whole valley. I bet people would recognize your balloons if you could explain which ones they are yours, because we see them in the sky
every morning sitting here. I watch them rise over there. Probably at least one of them is yours every time. Maybe
every day.
Yeah.
So mine all have a black and white checkered, and then they're bright colored.
Okay. Do you... So is it like a regular business? You're listed in, you know, you've got Google reviews and all that stuff, and people call you and say, hey, I want to ride. How much is it, and when can I go, kind of thing?
Yep. So people will call. They'll book online. I have over 430 five-star reviews.
Nice. Yeah. That's always good, right? I'll bet that's more than Sean has.
Way more than Sean has.
All right. So what? Tell us about the experience of it all. Do you try to provide, is the balloon just the experience, or are you... Like, is there a hospitality involved? Are you trying to entertain them, too, while you're in the air? How does that all work?
So, usually we'll end up meeting at Staley Farms, and then we end up taking pictures all the way around the balloon and inside. And then when it's sunrise, we take off, and then we fly, and we'll kind of, like, go over some of the history of St. George.
Oh, that's cool.
And just kind of everything, and then...
I think people want that, right? They don't want to just be in a balloon. They want, you know, while they're up there, to experience the area.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're taking pictures also, and... So by the time they're done, they've got a lot of pictures.
I imagine. Has anyone ever dropped their phone from the balloon?
Surprisingly, that is the number one worry, is that people will drop their phone and nobody has dropped their phone.
Well, the thing I think, Sean, as you mentioned that, is you know, in order to drop your phone, of course, you need butterfingers, but also there'd have to be like a jar or a jolt, and that just doesn't happen in a balloon.
No. Nope, it's smooth.
Yeah. Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, it is super cool. There's interesting rules around this that Heather told me about. Like, for example, they can land wherever they want. They can land safely wherever they want. But let's say they landed in your backyard. They never would do that. But you can't prevent them from doing that because the FAA protects them.
I mean, you should ask for homeowner's permission.
Yeah.
If you're going to land in a backyard or a farm.
So how much control do you have when it's time to land? I mean, obviously you can go higher and lower, but you can't really control direction a whole lot, right? It just depends on the winds.
So the winds will actually change every 10 to 20 feet.
Really?
And so you should be paying attention to what the layers are doing so you can navigate to get to that spot where you've told your crew you're going to land.
Is there a target every time? Pretty much you try to hit the same spot every time?
You should always be learning as a pilot. So you should always be trying to hit your target.
That's really cool.
She has landed. So we live in a circle. And she took off from Sand Hollow and landed in our circle. Right in front of her house.
That took some work. A lot of navigating.
So you can pretty much, though... decide where you're going to land every time. You kind of know this is where I'm going to
for the most part. Sometimes the winds will change, and I mean, we do have to go to plan B, but we usually get there.
Is there at this point is there a place you're shooting for? Is it like a park or an open field, or what's your targets usually?
So we usually try to go to like parking lots or just kind of more open areas. We try not to do the neighborhoods. Yes, the kids love it, but we try to minimize that so we don't make people upset.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and when the plane comes, when the balloon comes down, you should never have talked about planes. Now it's in my head.
I'm sorry.
I'm blaming you here. But when the balloon comes down, then they have to lay the balloon down. And they've got to put a big sheet out that the balloon falls on top of that can take the abuse, and so the balloon's protected. And so it's a whole thing. The day I flew with them, we landed at D.R. Horton in Long Valley. And there was lots of room there and stuff. But, yeah.
Now, as far as the landing and the packing up and everything, is it a pretty quick process? I'm sure people are like, okay, my balloon landed in a field next to my house. How long is that going to take?
Usually takes about 15 minutes.
That's it, huh?
Yeah, quick. They knock it out quick.
Yeah, that's
we milk so cool. it, and then we have to pack it up, and then we put it back in the trailer.
And this is, for you, like a drug. It's addictive. It's something that you absolutely love, huh?
I love it.
I mean, we would love it if Heather had rides every single day, but you see her balloon up every single day, and sometimes she's got passengers and sometimes she doesn't. Just okay. She loves to fly.
Doesn't sell out every time, but you're try to get up every single day, no matter mm-hmm. what, huh?
Yeah, so me and Lily will both fly because we only do the private flights.
Okay, and gotta ask, price, how much does it cost to fly in a hot air balloon?
So we charge $700 for two people.
Okay.
And yeah, that's, you know, just you guys, just passengers with the pilot.
Okay. Okay. I'm trying to think what my daughter paid in Spain. Of course, it was in euros or whatever. And so I don't exactly know that.
Probably a lot more.
It was like, yeah. It was a lot of money. In fact, we used to have an education account for her, and she went to study abroad in Spain, and that included a balloon ride. And the education account is now empty. She used it all. So.
A study abroad in Spain that includes a balloon ride. I need to sign up for something.
Well, the balloon ride was something she added on herself.
Okay.
Extra on top of it. But
that was a good add-on, though.
Yeah, I think it was. Well, I mean, the pictures. So how high do you get? Because the picture she had, she was actually above some clouds. Now, they had, I guess they were low-lying clouds or whatever, but she was actually taking pictures looking down on clouds. Do you do that?
No, we do not fly in clouds.
Okay.
We are restricted to not fly by clouds. We have to be so many feet and everything away from them.
Okay. Now, questions arise in my mind. First of all, we have a burgeoning airport here. Are there rules and restrictions when it comes to how high you can go and where you can go and stuff with the airport right around the corner?
So we have our aircraft radios, so we actually talk to the pilots.
Okay.
It's like when we take off. But right now, it's not. We will eventually be going to that Class D airspace, but we just have to have two-way radio communication.
And then what about power lines? We've all seen the video
lines.
Of a balloon getting caught in a power line and things like that. How do you deal with that? What if you target a landing space, maybe you're not quite going to hit it, and you notice there's some power lines in the area? What do you do?
You pick a different landing spot.
Okay.
I mean, you always need to account for, like, winds on the ground if they're going to change, because you don't want to get blown into the power lines.
Yeah. Heather's very safety conscious, in fact.
I'm sure, yeah, absolutely.
You get a lot of conversation prior to going up in the air about staying safe, what she's going to do to keep you safe, and yeah, that's why you want an experienced pilot, right? They know when the trajectory of the balloon, when it's coming down, like, all of that is part of the safety process, and so she's fantastic.
Great story. Heather Watkins with confetti balloons, and it makes me kind of want to go on a balloon right now.
Let's go.
In fact, Sean said he would pay for me, right?
Didn't he? We'll work something out.
Let's go, guys.
We're going to do the radio show from the balloon, Andy. We're going to make it. We're going to plan it.
Well, you know what's kind of cool is, like I said, I see him every morning because I have this great picture window here in the KDXU studio with the red rocks, and then off that direction, I see the balloons every single morning, and now I can say, hey, I know. That's Heather. Cool.
Yep.
What does your daughter's balloon look like? Same.
It's the same.
Yeah.
Just
both
a
black and
smaller.
White. Just a little.
And how often do you get the dog balloon out?
Once every other month.
Okay, not that often.
Mm-mm.
All right.
It was pretty expensive.
But now I'll be like, hey, I know her.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Cool. It's your brush with fame right now, Andy.
And then you joined the chamber. Was that browbeating from your neighbor, or did you just felt like this would help my business?
Nope, I did that, and also the Washington. So we did St. George and Washington chambers.
Yeah,
very cool.
We go to both.
Very cool. Get the lunch and everything.
Yeah,
and we only have 3 or 4 minutes, so I wanted to ask about the chamber. Anything else going on with the chamber that you wanted to mention before we let you go?
Well, we have a sold-out event this week. We do a preview for the Jubilee of Trees, and it's
member
exclusive for the chamber.
Nice.
And so Intermountain Health puts it on, and we do a luncheon right in among the trees. That's really super cool.
I love
cool.
Jubilee of Trees. What a great event.
It really is. Yeah. So we'll be over there on Thursday. But, yeah, it sold out yesterday, and 150 people coming to that. And
now, every year there's a BYU tree and a Utah tree. BYU's having a great year. Utah, not so much. I'm wondering
painful.
If they're going to have a Utah
It's very
tree
painful,
this
isn't it?
It is a painful. You would have to see Heather's house. They have a basketball court all branded you. In fact, Andy, when I was moving here, not that this is important stuff, but when we were looking at the house, as we pulled up in the circle, at the end of the circle, there was a huge U in the landscaping up on the mountain.
I said, honey, we're home. I would have turned around and left.
I know you would have.
In fact, I looked at a house out in the fields before we bought our current house, and the guy selling it had painted his garage blue with a big giant Y inside of it. I'm like, I want that house. But it didn't work out because our home at the time didn't sell in time. But
that's awesome. Yeah.
And just so Heather knows, we play BYU games on our station here. That's why we've got all the BYU swag and stuff back here. But we are the official home of the BYU Cougars. And our sister station down the hall here is the official home of the Utah Utes.
Well, I have the president of the University of Utah coming to speak next year at the Chamber. Maybe we'll have to bring him over to your show.
Yeah.
We'll decorate it in red that day.
Tell him to bring it.
Yeah.
So, all right, I got to let you guys go. I got to get a weather break in. We've got Dave Romer coming in, too, in just a couple minutes. But thank you, Sean, for bringing Heather. Heather, thanks for coming
on.
You did great. It wasn't that bad, was it?
No, it wasn't that bad.
Piece of cake. And Sean, any last words before we let you go?
Happy holidays to everybody. Let's be safe and have a lot of fun with loved ones.
It's getting close, isn't it? It's holiday time. Thanksgiving, a week from tomorrow. All right, let's check weather. Thanks, you guys.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy. Dave Romer is in the house with me. Dave is he works for Modern Warrior. He's a firearms expert, former firearms trainer for the military. And I don't know what else you got on your resume, Dave. I mean, bring all kinds of stuff up.
I make up a bunch of stuff, too, if you want.
Yeah,
I mean, we come up with anything you want.
That's what a lot of people do with resumes, right? They just make stuff up.
Yeah, as long as it sounds good. So. Right?
I'm glad you're here, though. I appreciate you coming in.
Thanks for having me.
One of the things that has been on my mind, it's been all over the wire the last few days as the trial of a guy by the name of Daniel Penny. I think his name is Daniel. Daniel Penny in New York City. If folks remember back last year, there was a schizophrenic guy kind of freaking out, threatening to kill people on the subway car. Daniel Penny is a Marine, a former Marine. I don't know if he's current or former. Anyway.
He was no longer in the Corps.
He's no longer in the Corps. Yeah. Anyway, this guy that was freaking out started getting violent. And so Daniel Penny put him in a chokehold and restrained him, subdued him. Unfortunately, the long story short, he subdued him maybe longer than some people say he should have, and the guy died. And so now we have a big old trial going on. Mm-hmm. And this Daniel Penny guy who says, and I agree with him, was just trying to protect the other people in the subway car from this violent schizophrenic guy. He's on trial for murder, and so to me it brings into the whole question of, I was always under the assumption, Dave, my whole life, that if I defend myself, whether it's chokehold or someone pull a gun, if someone's threatening to kill me, that I would be okay. I wouldn't have to worry about being tried for murder. And now I'm kind of like, maybe I've been wrong all these years. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, there's been a lot of kind of scary precedents on that front in the last few years. I think within the last 6 months, there was the person in California had their house broken into, and they shot armed robbers, and they were arrested, which is insane to me.
Yeah.
But obviously there's a lot involved with that, not just, the actual actions and what actually occurred. There's also kind of the jurisdictions where you are and what the tendency of the mindset of those people. You'll notice a trend with these, like you're talking New York City, you're talking California. These are not the most free, loving, friendly type of areas.
Yeah.
They tend to try to restrict as much as possible, including your ability to defend yourself. So it's not surprising to me that these are happening in these areas. That's not shocking at all. I would be very shocked to see this coming out of Utah or Alabama or Tennessee. Those places, I'm like, yeah, that would be shocking to me.
I was actually going to ask you that. Would this even be a trial? Would this be a case if it was in Utah?
I mean, not we don't have all the specifics, right?
Right.
So, I mean, there's little video clips here and there. There's what people are saying happened. From what I have seen with that, I would be surprised if we actually took this to trial, if we didn't just drop this before him.
Yeah.
Now, again, there's an information that I don't have.
Sure.
I've seen brief video clips of him just basically restraining this guy. It was very apparent in some other clips that, yes, this guy probably had some mental issues that were flaring up. More than likely was on drugs at the time. Hindsight's always easy, right? I mean, they're sitting there, well, he died, so you shouldn't have done that. Well, okay.
Yeah.
Well, a normal human being, I could have done that too, and they wouldn't have died. So right. Do I know his medical history at the time of this incident? No, I don't. Mm-hmm. I could tell he's probably on drugs, but what drugs, right?
Yeah.
According to one of the stories, there was a toxicology report showing he had, like, synthetic cannabis in him,
yeah.
Which that stuff's insane. There's no telling what that does on all sorts of fronts. You get batches that are all sorts of crazy and others that are pretty mild. I mean, who knows, right? And so there's a lot of other complicating factors here on why he would have died. If this was a traditional chokehold like we're normally taught, we go for what we call blood chokes. So you're not actually trying to restrict the airway. You're actually cutting off the blood and the carotid arteries going to the brain.
Hmm.
The reason for that is kind of twofold. One, an air choke can take a long time. You're basically waiting for oxygen levels to drop enough that they pass out. That's all off breathing,
minutes,
right?
Yeah.
And that can take a long time. And it varies person to person. The other part is if someone's choking, they often can be loud. it gives them a lot more time to squirm around and do things.
Yeah.
Doing a blood choke, you're just cutting off that blood supply. I mean, I've seen people pass out as quick as 3 seconds. I've seen people take 8. But the flip side is I've seen a lot of people actually get choked unconscious. And you know what? You wake up with a headache and you're fine. Right, it's actually pretty safe and pretty harmless as long as you release once they go unconscious.
As far as this guy was
squirming the whole time, so he obviously wasn't unconscious, right? So you're not just sitting there with no blood flow to the brain for minutes on end, you know. So it's, I don't know, it's always hard on some of these. From what I've seen, I mean, the other part is in the video. There's other civilians there that are helping the guy that's restraining him. That in itself tells me that the situation is no one's looking at that as he's in the wrong.
Right.
Right. Everyone's looking at that as he is helping them with this guy. Whatever what led up to this, whatever madness may have happened or was said, there's a lot of times you see someone attacking somebody, regardless of reason, they're trying to pull that person off of them. Whoever seems to be quote-unquote winning often is people are trying to pull them off. Unless they believe that he's doing the right thing or she's doing the right thing. So the fact that he had two people sitting there helping him, trying to also help restrain this guy and keep his arms from getting back to him, it kind of screams to me that this was not someone just trying to do something crazy or it could be a little too vigilante to me. But
all kinds of questions pop up. And, of course, like you said, we don't have all the details, but just some generalized questions. Like, number one, is there going to be a shading effect now on everyday humans that go, I don't really want to help people now because if I help people, I might go to jail.
It's a common thing. And I've heard it a lot in various parts of the country, including here. it's one of those, I've heard quite a few people in friendly jurisdictions to liberty and self-protection basically say, hey, if they're not shooting me, I'm out.
Hmm. Wow.
Which is kind of a wild thought if you're, because
kind of
that statement itself says that they're shooting people.
Yeah.
And you're there.
Yeah, so, they're shooting other people and they're not shooting me.
Right. So,
I'm
sitting there and someone's just shooting people, I mean, I can't speak for anyone else, but me personally, I'm not going to be able to live with that knowing that I potentially could have done something and said, you know what,
heck with other people.
Legal system's kind of screwed up. So, you know, maybe 10, 15, 20 of them die, but I'll be all right. At least I'm not going to go to jail. I can't live with that.
No,
but the
no.
fact that that's even a question for people screams of something much bigger and much more serious, I think.
It shouldn't happen.
That should not be – that's something that should never have to cross someone's mind in something like that. Now, obviously, the case we're talking about is a little different because it's not someone actively shooting someone. It's not like he was stabbing someone, right? This isn't a cut and dry. He's currently murdering people. So you know, finding that line is a thing. But I mean, again, California, I mean, they were in their house shooting at this person. They got wounded. They killed them. They got arrested. That's lunacy to
that's
me.
Up, yeah.
Yeah, that's absolute lunacy. but, you know, that's how some of these places are run. So
now the other thing I was thinking about, and of course you mentioned it, there wasn't a gun involved in this case on the subway, but we do, you know, a lot of us carry guns, and we we want to protect our domiciles, our homes, our families.
Right.
So if I, in Utah, we're not going to go to California because we know what's going to happen there.
That's
in
right.
Utah, if someone comes into my home and I feel like they are, there's a danger to me and my family and I shoot them, what's going to happen to me?
I mean, there will be investigations.
Will I get arrested?
No one's going to sit there and go, oh, yeah, you shot him. Yeah, it's fine. Right.
Yeah.
They're at least going to ask some questions. There's going to be some level of investigation, depending on what's coming out or if there's security footage that's showing what happened or anything else. If it's looking really shady, obviously it's going to depend on relation to this person, what time it was, what other factors. But it is possible you could get arrested while they try to figure out what's going on.
Right.
Now, like even this guy, he got released on $100,000 bail, which sounds like a lot. But in the grand scheme of a death, that's not very much money for bail.
That's true.
And,
although
and there are means to get out without having to pay cash out of your pocket to do that. Yes. I mean, is it possible? I'm never going to say no. No, there's no chance you're going to get arrested. There certainly is. It could happen. But the onus is going to be on them thinking, this is pretty suspect. I have a hard time believing that this was actual self-defense before they start doing that.
Guy was shot in the back or something.
Right. Yeah. And
okay,
there's
so
a blood trail from the front yard into the house from where they Okay, we got issues.
Now, let's go beyond that initial act and what happens right after. What about a week, a month later, a year later, if a trial evaluation? I've heard people say that's the whole reason I'm a member of the, is it the USCCA? Is that what
USCCA is one of the biggest ones. Yeah, there's a few groups out there.
Because they'll help protect you.
They do. Yeah, as long as it's deemed legally justified shooting, they will help cover your costs for your lawyers and everything else, both for criminal and civil court cases, which is another completely different crazy
facet to me. They can file a civil suit against you
which is absolutely insane that the family can file a civil suit when it's deemed lawful.
Yeah, I came to your house with a gun. You killed my son, so now my family's suing you.
Especially after it's deemed lawful. Like, I could see if you were criminally convicted.
Yeah.
And then they did that. Okay, fair enough. But if you weren't, how do we allow that? But we do.
By the same token, at least they got OJ for the civil part of it.
That's
a whole different story.
It just seems crazy to me.
All right. And then the expensive things. You know, this Daniel Penny guy, I mean, I don't know all the details, but I feel like here's a good Samaritan, a guy who stepped up when nobody else was really stepping up and helped maybe save the lives of people. This guy, I mean, this guy had screamed he was going to kill people in the subway. Now,
right.
He didn't actually have a weapon or anything, but.
And according to most accounts, was clearly on drugs, which.
Yeah.
You know, if I just stood up in perfectly sane mind, just randomly, I'm going to kill y'all, and then sat back down.
Yeah.
People
probably,
would be like, man, that guy's weird. And they'd kind of be on edge, but they probably don't think I'm actually going to kill everybody.
Right.
If I'm drunk or I'm on drugs very clearly and I do the same thing, people are going to be like, Lord knows what this guy's going to do. He's not even in right mind.
Right.
Logical person's not going to go to jail for that, but this guy didn't even know what planet he's on. Lord knows what he's about to do, right? So
this
that complicates things significantly.
So this Penny guy is under trial for murder, and I'm like, okay, maybe the right thing will happen and he'll get acquitted. But think about the expense, the money, the disruption of his life.
Oh, absolutely.
For, in my mind, trying to do the right thing. I mean, it's real, isn't it?
Well, I haven't seen some of the kind of ancillary stuff going on other parts of his life. But I mean, it is very common to like lose your job from employers because they don't want to be associated in case this goes south. Like Lord knows what all other things he's got going on that's making his life a lot more complicated, a lot more difficult.
Not to mention the
other than just the costs of getting through this, which is going to be astronomical.
Yeah, absolutely. Just got to tag them, hopefully. Okay, what is your... Oh, this is a good question. This is off topic, so okay, maybe we'll address it right after the commercial break. Yep. But, yeah, bottom line, as far as we can tell, and I'm speaking for Dave, I'll let you speak for yourself here. Fair enough. As far as I can tell, I should say, it seems like Brad Penny was a good guy, a good Samaritan doing the right thing, and the fact that it happened, unfortunately, in a New York subway maybe is the worst part of it because New York is, yeah.
Yeah, one of the least friendly places for that, which is also why crime is much higher.
But. Yeah. All right, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll answer this text. It's about the Sabre launcher. And I know Sean Hannity's always talking about the burner, too, the B-Y-R-N-A. He calls it burner because he has a funny accent, but it's burner. We'll talk about that when we come back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Hey, good morning, everybody. 948 on KDXU. David Romer is with me from Modern Warrior. He is a Modern Warrior himself. Yeah, Dave, thank you for coming in today.
Appreciate it.
Dave has a couple little kids at home. That's pretty cool, raising little ones.
It's a fun time.
Are you learning things about yourself you didn't know with little kids? I'll tell you.
Yes.
I remember when my kids were little. My kids are grown now. My youngest is 20, but... you learn, you know, maybe the number one thing you learn as a dad of young kids is anything that was yours before is now not yours anymore. It's everyone's.
Yeah. So. Yeah. There's not a whole lot of sanctity of personal property or space anymore. But, you know, it's worth it though. I mean,
kids are awesome.
Yeah. They're a ton of fun. I don't know what I was expecting. It wasn't this, but it's been a good time.
We got a text a little while ago that says, hey, what's your opinion on the Sabre launcher for home defense? And I, like I said, Sean Hannity always talking about the Byrna, which is another pepper spray launcher. Mm-hmm. Let's go over the basics of them first. They're like guns, but they're not guns.
Yes, they obviously share some characteristics. But, yeah, they're going to be closer to like an air gun or a paintball gun kind of setup.
Okay. Does that mean they have to have a special coloration so police can tell them from a gun or
I don't know if legally every part of it does. I've seen some that look pretty
like a real gun,
black, you know, and normal, but you know, the flip side, there's got to be something in there in the legal code for that. I know like airsoft guns, you know, have the orange tip, but
yeah.
I would definitely personally get one that's vibrant.
Yeah, you
make it pretty obvious that I'm not pointing a real gun at someone in case cops show up, but yeah, they can put yourself in a different situation. In fact, there's a video from Vegas the other day on that front. So,
okay, we'll have to look that one up.
Yeah, that was a wild one. No, I'm all about having as many tools in the toolbox to deal with the problem as possible.
Okay. So you don't have a problem with that?
I have no issue with that. The problem I have is generally just people not understanding capabilities of what they have. And that goes for anything, guns included. Right. So, there's a misconception with tasers, which we talked a little bit off the air, and also pepper spray and pepper balls and all that kind of stuff, that they are quite effective at rendering people no longer a threat when they work. And
when they work.
Now, the misconception is that that is, one, that'll happen to everybody when they work, that it's universal. The other part is, what is that rate of effectiveness in terms of how often do they work? Now, pepper spray works a lot more often because it just has to get near you and on you, and then, okay, it's at least doing its job. Yeah. Then we can find out if that works on you or not. Tasers are a whole different deal. We were kind of laughing about it. It's almost insane how often you can fire those things off and get hits, and it just doesn't do anything. Which is pretty insane. But I mean, the pepper spray stuff, I've been sprayed with OC spray and had to do some stuff with it, and it's miserable. It's one of the worst experiences I've had. it was pretty awful. The flip side though is that we got sprayed for the first time, and then we had to go through and do one-man and two-man takedown techniques on people and do hand-to-hand fighting.
After you've been
sprayed. And this was the first time we've been sprayed, so we're not used to this, right? We've gone through the techniques. We know how to fight, but we've never been sprayed before, and yet we're still able to do that in order to pass this course. Take that for what it is, right? Like I said, this was one of the most miserable things I've been through. I mean, it was terrible, but... I could still fight one, two people off, sometimes with improvised weapons. I could get with a buddy and take someone down and detain them.
Really?
And that's getting sprayed in the face and have to just sit there and take it. And then you can start. So, does it work? Yes. There are people as well that are just immune to the active ingredient. It's not common, but it does happen. I've seen two people that have been sprayed, and it was like they had water on their face. It's like... that it okay
so the basics of these things are the projectile that they launch, they don't shoot, they launch, are they do not penetrate skin, they basically explode on impact.
It's like a paintball. So it hits and breaks, and that's when how that active ingredient is then released onto the
target. Doesn't sound like something you want to use in close quarters. You know, if the person's 5 feet away,
you're going to
get it too.
Well, and kind of the old adage for non-lethal training course we had to go through where we got sprayed, the old adage on that was, if you use it, you will get hit with it. That is the expectation. So, which is why one of the reasons that we had to all get sprayed with it and be able to do stuff was, if you spray this, it's floating in the air. The main portion of that is kind of controlled and has some force behind it, so it's going to go towards a target. But it's also, I mean, it's a liquid, so it's kind of spraying everywhere. And you're going to have to walk through this. Like, it's going to get on you. You are going to suffer some of that. So
do you, would you say then that these are, you mentioned you're all about as many tools as possible and not bad. Would it be a replacement, though, for a personal firearm?
I wouldn't take one as a replacement unless I'm talking about somewhere where I could take this, where I absolutely just cannot take a firearm. In that case, yes, by all means, you know, I've done the same thing with blades in the past where I can take a blade somewhere, but I can't take a gun. I will do that. That's not my general preference, but that is what I'll do if I have to. So for that case, yes, I would look at it as a replacement. In general, though, I would not. If I've got someone that's, you know, threatening to beat me up or harm me physically, but not probably kill me or, you know, breaking limbs and all that kind of stuff, I would look at that as a pretty viable option. Because even if it doesn't work, they're not going to be full, you know, 100% coming after me anymore. You know, they're going to have to be working through that. I can move around. I can get away a little better. I then can escalate to other options if necessary. The flip side of that, though, is somebody's got a knife or a gun or a bat or anything like that, and they're coming after me. I'm not spending my time on that. I'm not. I can't sit there and wait to see if it's going to work.
Yeah, seriously.
I've seen people where it doesn't. Right, it acts like water, and you don't know who that person is unless you've seen it before on that person. The blessing and the curse of bullets is that it doesn't matter who you are; they're just as effective as long as the placement's right. So
there's the old adage,
which is bad if that's not what you want.
Right.
But it's also good if you need to stop a threat, because I don't have to question, is this actually going to stop this person if I do X? I already know the answer to that. It doesn't matter who this person is.
There's that old adage, Dave, about if you go out into bear country, how do you tell people we're prepared for bear country? Well, you find that the bear will have pepper spray and other stuff in its stomach content
when it ate the person.
It's definitely not a foolproof situation. I have myself wondered about these non-lethal ways of protecting you, and Dave's official opinion is basically, yeah, they're good things, but not a replacement.
Yes, I would never sit there and say, do not buy a gun, buy this.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that. Now, I can't make a decision for you if you are comfortable and have the proficiency to own a gun. If you aren't comfortable to use it, don't go get one and then introduce it to the situation. It's just going to make things worse, and you're more likely to get killed with it if you do that.
Yeah.
If you're not willing to use it, there's a very good chance that it gets used on you if you end up messing
with it. I was going to say, if you're not going to
use it, I'm not saying just run out buy guns, right? Yeah. I mean, you need to make that decision for yourself first. Then if you want to, then we can have another discussion. We can kind of work through, like we've talked about before, what to get, how to kind of go through that process and what makes sense for you. But as just a blanket statement as a replacement, no, absolutely not. I would not. Do I think it's bad to have or stupid? Absolutely not. I think they're useful. They have a place. And if you get one, I highly recommend getting shot with it. Highly recommend have a loved one or a friend or someone shoot you with your pepper ball and so go through the process so you know what it's going to do and what it's going to be like. Highly recommend it.
That's yeah.
It won't be fun.
I was gonna say it is
important information to have.
That's saying a lot because that's basically saying that I am willing to do this to another human. I guess
correct.
I need to have it done to me to see what it's like.
Absolutely. And that's the reason cops, military, everyone, if you have access to OC spray, pepper spray, anything like that, before you're allowed to carry it, you are required to have it used on you. Same thing with tasers. Wow. If you are in a law enforcement agency or a military unit has tasers, you are required to be tased before you can carry it. There is a reason for that.
I have a good friend who is a police officer, yep. And he loves to play the video of him getting tasered. And it ain't pretty, folks. He drops like a rock.
Yep. Yeah, they don't do it because it's fun. But
yeah. So, all right. Last minute or so, tell us a little bit more about Modern Warriors, where to find you, what to do, how to become a part of a Modern Warrior.
Absolutely. So, yeah, we're off exit 4 off I-15. We're back behind the Pilot in La Quinta, right next to Appliance Wholesalers Plus, AWP over there, kind of tucked up in the hill by ourselves. We have a nice big showroom. It's nice and clean. It's open. We allow people to come cruise around, kind of go at your own pace. We're not going to sit there and harass you. We're happy to answer questions and help in any way you want, but I'm not going to sit there and hover over you and make you feel like you're being interrogated either. So,
well, one of the things I love to going out there is, like, if you're really technical, really know all the jargon and lingo, and you're really into, you know, certain types of guns or what, you guys can talk that. You're there.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not, if you're a newbie or a beginner or you're just learning, you guys can go there too, and it's not a problem.
Yeah, we try to appeal as many different people as possible. We love talking pretty technical and getting into all these crazy things that are out there and really high end stuff. We love that stuff, but honestly, bringing new people into the fold and educating, that's really the most fun part to me, especially the education side. So,
agreed, yeah.
I mean, it's typical. I mean, you go talk to an engineer and they can't get out of, you know, their lingo at work. You don't have a first clue what they're talking about.
That's right.
They can say as much as they want to you. You're never going to know. Yeah. So yeah, we've got to be able to figure out how to break that down and be a little more approachable and make more sense. But I think that's the fun part, educating people and kind of working through problems. So
very cool. He's Dave Romer, Modern Warrior. Dave, thanks for your expert advice today. It's been great talking with you, man.
No, it's been fun. Thanks for having me.
We're out of time. Mayor Billings tomorrow. We're going to talk about baking a pie with the mayor. She did that. We'll talk about that tomorrow on the Andy Griffin Show. Thanks for listening.